2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 7 through 18. This is the reading of God's word. You are looking at things as they are outwardly. If anyone is confident in himself that he is Christ's, let him consider this again within himself, that just as he is Christ's, so also are we. For even if I boast somewhat further about our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be put to shame. For I do not wish to seem as if I would terrify you by my letters. For they say, his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive and his speech contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters, when absent, such persons we are also indeed when present. For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us as a measure to reach even as far as you. For we are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach you, for we were the first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ, not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labors, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be within our sphere enlarged even more by you, so as to preach the gospel even to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the spheres of another. But he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that through your word, you show us Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the reality of our eternal salvation. Father, let us meet your Son in your word. Let us have a wonderful fellowship with him. And Father, let us also see, because of what your Son has done and accomplished, who we are and what we are in Christ now and forever. Oh Father, as we hear your word, let us grow in faith and let us be more and more like your Son. And let us be able to imitate your Son more and more in our lives. Oh Father, receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come to the end of chapter 10. We'll begin chapter 11 next Lord's Day. The false teachers rejected the apostolic authority of the Apostle Paul, and thus his teachings. They accused Paul of walking according to the flesh and being a coward. His personal presence, very unimpressive, and his speech, contemptible. But the bigger problem was that the congregation of the Corinth started to listen and believe those false teachers. Verse 7a, You are looking at things as they are outwardly. They recognize things according to the flesh, according to the standards of this sinful world. And we have already talked about that in other chapters, so we move on. Paul continues, if anyone is confident in himself that he is Christ's, let him consider this again within himself, just as he is Christ, so also are we. A true Christian will definitely know that just as he belongs to Christ, so others who also belong to Christ. Especially for the leaders of the church working with the authority that Christ has given to them. Paul is not acknowledging nor approving the false teachers here. When we read chapter 11, Paul refers them as the servants of Satan. And why are they the servants of Satan? Verse 8, for even if I boast somewhat further about our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be put to shame. Do you see it? The authority that Jesus Christ gave is for building the church up, not for destroying it. And this is very, very important. That whatever you do in this church, we must do everything for the building up of the church. Never do anything to destroy it. And Paul is embarrassed about boasting that authority which Christ have given for the building up the church. Paul is not embarrassed about boasting that authority, because Christ gave that authority to him for the building up of the church. But false teachers, everything they were doing is to destroy the church. But in a human perspective, they were successful leaders. And yet, they were actually destroying the body of Christ. Verses 9 through 11, for I do not wish to seem as if I would terrify you by my letters. For they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive and his speech contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when absent, such persons we are also indeed when, when present. The false teachers accused the Apostle Paul of being a coward. His letters are weighty and strong, but in person he is unimpressive and his speech is contemptible. But Paul tells them that everyone should know that the message in the person and the message in the letters are the same message, and the message, whether in person or in letter, are by the same person. Do you remember what Paul has said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Paul said, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. There are people who are born with speaking abilities. You know, even if two persons saying the same thing, you are drawn only to one person who has great skill in speech. And so many people misunderstand that great speaking ability is the power of God. Actually, it's the opposite. You know, there are even non-Christians who are so good at demonstrating or motivating people who are listening to him. That is not the work of the Holy Spirit. And you must be able to distinguish between these two. And only the Holy Spirit in the Bible says the Holy Spirit can cause us to distinguish between different spirits. All Paul wanted to do was preach the gospel. And that gospel will be preached in demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. Maybe the preaching itself, the words that the preacher uses is not a, you know, eloquent language or whatever it is. The people who are hearing, you know, worldly people will come and say, this is unimpressive. But the way that the Holy Spirit works with his word, the world will never understand. And that effect of that preaching, it's not shown immediately. It might come out 10 years from today. God has his own ways. See, what I, as a preacher, what I have to focus is that, am I really preaching the gospel? I don't worry whether my speech is in eloquent language or even in proper grammar. I don't really care. Do I really preach the gospel? That's my focus. And it might not even, you know, with all this humorous examples or, you know, these catch things that they, when you go to speech class, they will tell you what you should do when you're doing speech. I don't really care about any of that. My purpose is not to impress you. That you will say, whoa, he's a great speaker. Because actually being a great speaker hinders the gospel. Because the gospel is not the power of men, power of the wisdom of men. It has to be power of God. And you must understand that. You must be able to distinguish, is this truly gospel or is it just very impressive speech that I'm just drawn to because, oh, it sounds so great and sounds so funny and interesting and whatever it might be. All Paul wants to do is preach the gospel. And the Holy Spirit, he's the one who's going to work that in the hearts of the hearers. But it has to be the gospel. Otherwise, Holy Spirit will not work. You might be even moved. You know, even when you're listening to non-Christian speech, you will be moved. But that is not the work of the Holy Spirit. Anyway, and that is exactly these false teachers are accusing Paul of being unimpressive and just maybe even boring. But if you are hearing the word, you are hearing the voice of God. And God says,
What?
My sheep hears my voice. And that's what happens sometimes. I listen to this radio preacher, and when I hear their sermon, I say to myself, this is not my father's voice. My God doesn't say these things. I mean, where in the Bible God says those things? So I immediately recognize this is not my father. This is not my God, because he would never say those things. My sheep hears my voice. All Paul wanted was that the power of God will be demonstrated, not his power or his skills or his abilities. Because if you are becoming better Christian because you have the greatest pastor in the whole universe, then that is not the gospel. That is not what the Bible is teaching. Then you're just benefiting because I'm great. I'm great pastor, you know. That is not what the Bible is teaching. But that's what people want. This great personality. No, you come for the gospel, the word of God. And if you are truly his sheep, you will be thirsty and hungry for his word. Verse 12, for we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. You know, Paul is being a little bit sarcastic. I dare not compare with them. We are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. These false teachers are self-boasting and self-congratulating. Paul is being somewhat sarcastic, like I said. We would dare not compare ourselves with them. Criticizing Paul, these false teachers, why are they criticizing Paul? So that they could elevate themselves and boast about themselves. Pretend to preach the gospel, but all they are doing is self-boasting and self-congratulating. They themselves are the standard that they use to boast themselves. They themselves are the standard with which they measure all things. Thus, they acknowledge themselves and they congratulate themselves. They commend themselves. They measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves. They act like they know, but they do not know at all. They are without understanding. And we see these kind of people in the churches today. It's all about, it's full of themselves. They are the measurement. They are the standard so that whoever they think is biblical, they say is biblical. But the standard, only standard we have is the Bible itself. You have to come to the Bible. This is the only standard. You measure yourself and others according to the Bible. People criticize this and that, but only reason they're criticizing is so that by doing that, they want to elevate themselves. See, I'm right, they're wrong. But sometimes it is okay to say they're wrong if you measure, if you use the standard that is the Bible. But if you use yourself as a standard and say they're wrong and you're right, then what are you really doing? Verses 13 through 16. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us as a measure, to reach even as far as you. For we are not overextending ourselves as if you did not reach to, we did not reach to you. For we were the first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ, not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labors, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be within our sphere, enlarged even more by you, as so as to preach the gospel even to the region beyond you, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the spheres of another. Yes, this translation sometimes, you know, it's hard to understand what Paul is trying to say. The measure, the word measure, the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us as a measure. Meaning we must use the standard that God gave us. And we said this already. God's word is the standard. And here the word measure is used by Paul as the geographical boundary of his ministry. The false teachers just came into the Corinthian church, and they came in with self-given authority, and they started to boast about what they have done in the church. We do not boast beyond our measure, Paul says, that is, in other men's labors. Other men's labors. The Corinthian church, God built that church through Paul. Paul was the first one to come into that city and start the church. And God gave Paul the authority over that church. But these false teachers pretend to be the apostle of Christ and preach the false gospel, which is not gospel at all. And they are in fact destroying the church, and all they are doing is self-boasting and self-congratulating. They are boasting in what has been accomplished in the spheres of another. There is the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us as a measure. We must not pass over that boundary. Do you understand what Paul is saying? This is very, very important, especially you college people. Listen very carefully. You know, some pastors today, they think that every Christian in the whole universe should listen to their sermons and read their books. What an arrogant people. You come to this church, Christ in Heaven OPC. God gave me as a pastor, and if we get our elders, God will give elders the authority to look over you. There is the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us as a measure. You do not pass that boundary. As a pastor, you, if you are a member of this church, I'm responsible. God gave me that authority over you. That's what being a member is all about. And if you don't want that authority, then you go to another church and be a member of that church. But some pastors think that God gave every Christian in the whole universe to that pastor. He thinks that the whole Christian world must listen to their sermon, his sermon, and read his book. I don't believe that when I preach God's word every Lord's Day, I'm preaching to you. I'm not preaching to other people out there. Because those other Christians are listening the preachings of their own pastors. That's why I really don't like this, you know, websites. I don't even like writing books. Not because, you know, I'm a great writer and I don't want to, but, you know, I don't even know how to write. But even if I do, maybe I'll write to you. But I don't think the whole universe needs to read my books. What kind of arrogant thinking is that? Now, there are legitimate books that everybody will be helped. But when I look at books that come out today, man, it's better just they didn't write it. But they think that it is so great that I need to write this so that everyone can read it. I'm preaching to you. I'm not preaching anybody outside of this room. I'm bringing God's word to the people that God gave them to me to take care of. Go to Romans 15. Look at what Paul says. Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 20. This is what Paul says. And thus I aspire to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation. Even as he goes around starting new churches, he will not go into a city where there was already a church. That's why when, you know, in OPC, when we start a new mission work, we don't want to start a mission work right next to another OP church. I mean, why would we want to do that? That's why, you know, long ago, the church's name was the First Presbyterian Church of Philadelphia. Because it's just the First Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia City. And if there's a Second Presbyterian Church, they will name it Second Presbyterian Church. It used to be like that. Now it's all about go next to the big church so who could steal those people. So who could be successful? I want to tell all those pastors in your college, I want to tell them, leave my people alone. Just like Pharaoh says, Moses says to Pharaoh, leave my people alone. You belong to this church unless you transfer your membership, and that is, you have freedom to do that. But listen to what God is saying in these verses. Paul would not dare start a new work right next to a church that is already existing. He will go where there is no other church. And for us, we have to look at the area where there is no Reformed church. And now it's really easy to do that because you will not find that many Reformed churches anymore. But it's so amazing that they will come to any college and then they will ask my member, our member, you want to learn from me? So they will force you to join some Christian group so that he could teach you. Now who gave the authority to him to teach you? God gave our elders and this pastor the authority to teach you. Who gave them the authority to do that to you? It's self-given authority. It's going beyond their measure. And boasting in the other man's labor. You know, I wish if I meet one of those pastors, I mean, he probably has a church, right? He probably has a church. I wish I could go to him and ask this. Do you mind if I go to your church and ask your member that I could have Bible study with them? Do you think they will say yes? Go ahead. I don't think so. Then why is he doing the same thing to our member? He would not let me take care of his members. I'll guarantee you he's not going to be happy with that. And yet he wants to take care of our member. What is going on? It's chaos, man. They just do whatever they want. It's self-given authority, self-boasting, self-everything. It's not according to the Bible. You read it yourself, what the Bible says. See, I get really worked up about this because I'm really angry about this. Leave my people alone. And if you really believe that you're not being fed spiritual food enough in this church, then you should go find a church that will feed you adequately. But you do not do this because you're destroying the church, destroying the order that God has put in the church. You're not helping at all. So find a good church and be a member of that church and be satisfied. Because that is how God wants it. Boy, man, why would they do the very thing that they will hate it when other people will do it to them? I don't understand that. And thus I aspire to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build another man's foundation. This is what Paul is saying. And before you join any of your college Christian group, you should come to the session and talk about it. If session is approving that group or not. It's not just you just do it as if your session has no business in your spiritual life. We gotta do the things in a way that would build up the church, not destroying it. Especially you who will go to college and who you are already in college, you have to listen to what the Bible is saying. There are dangerous teachers out there. False teachers. Who will not do according to the Bible. They don't really care what the Bible says. I mean, look at what it says. Even when you read these couple verses that I showed you, it is very clear how we should do these things. And yet, they have no regard to what the Bible is saying. And Paul says this, with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be within our sphere, enlarged even more by you so as to preach the gospel even to the regions beyond you. As their faith grows and the church is firmly rooted in the gospel, God would enlarge the boundary, but still within their sphere, so that Paul could preach the gospel to other people who did not hear the gospel yet. This is what Paul is saying. God gives us exactly according to what we need and what we need to do. Never use this as to justify our laziness, but it is the truth. God will always give us exactly according to what we need and what we need to do. In John chapter 3, John the Baptist, he says what? A man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You know, there the background is this, that so many John's disciples, John the Baptist, you know, before Jesus came on the scene, there were people who were following John the Baptist. And these disciples, were going to Jesus. And some of the John's disciples, they got angry at that, and they came to John the Baptist and say, Master, you know what is happening? All your disciples going to Jesus. And he says, let them go. That's how it's supposed to be. And he says, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You know, our church will be as big as how many people God will give us. It will not be any bigger. It will not be any smaller. Again, let us not use this to justify our laziness in not witnessing out there. We need to do our best to bring more people in. But our church will not be any bigger than the number of people that God will give us. And I'm perfectly satisfied with what God will do in our church and in my life. Whatever God does, my job is to diligently preach the gospel. And together, we must do our best to witness and reach out. But again, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. It is so important, brothers and sisters, as a pastor and as a elders or leaders of the church, that we need to learn how to be satisfied with what God is doing in the church and in our own lives. Are you dissatisfied? Are you even angry at God that, he doesn't know what he's doing? You think that he could do better things if he does it this way, but man, God doesn't even know what he's doing. Is that how you feel? It will go just as God planned. Nothing more, nothing less. And be happy. Be satisfied. Understand? I hope you do. I really pray you do understand. Verses 17 through 18. But he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. Our confidence and our boasting is in Jesus Christ and him alone. We do not congratulate ourselves. We do not commend ourselves. And we are not trying to please men of this world. Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. Woe to you if everybody likes you. Do you understand? How can this sinful world like you? who is Christian. The sinners of this world loves the praises of men. They love to boast about themselves. They want to be acknowledged. They want to be recognized. But we do not need any of it. I don't know why so many Christians, they're just eager to get the world's approval. Why? Do I need your approval? Do you need my approval? We don't need any of it. The only thing we need is God's approval. That's it. But this sinful world, they want to be acknowledged. They want to be recognized. They want to be appreciated by the men. Galatians 1:10, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. There is no boasting in Christianity. We read this many times, but go to 1 Corinthians. Yes, again, it's getting longer. Let's go. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty nor many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. Verse 29, so that no man may boast before God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. It is not that we deserve God's love and his salvation. Romans chapter 3, verse 27, where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law of works? No, but by law of faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 2, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God, because he was not justified by his works, but by faith. When it comes to God choosing you, there is no boasting. When it comes to God saving you, there is no boasting. When it comes to do anything in your life, there is no boasting. There is no boasting in Christianity. You know, Israelites, they still believe that they are chosen people. And why were they chosen? Because they're great. No, if you read, go home and read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 through 12, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7, chapter 8, verse 17, chapter 9, verse 4 through 5, God chose them not because they're great, actually because they're the smallest nation in the whole universe. Because they did not deserve God's love and God's choosing, and yet God chose them. No boasting. But they're boasting, even today, they're boasting about God choosing them. That is not Christianity. Because this is Christianity. He who boasts is to boast in the Lord. We are to boast Christ and all that he has done and accomplished. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23-24, thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercise loving kindness, justice, righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, for who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did not receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? What you have in your life, whatever that you own, even your college degree or whatever it is, what you have that you did not receive from God? And why do you act like you did not receive from God? Somehow you did it yourself. Why the boasting? Stop it. There is no boasting in our religion. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labor even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Galatians chapter 6 verse 3, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Whenever you boast, do you know that you are deceiving yourself? That's what you're doing whenever you boast. Luke chapter 18 verse 10, there's a story, a Pharisee and tax collector. This Pharisee was praying to God and saying, thank you, God. And he was actually elevating himself in his prayer. Thank you that I am fasting twice every week. Thank you that I do this and I do that. Thank you. And here's a tax collector way at the back. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The end times is described in many ways, and one way that Bible uses, the word he Bible uses, is they are boastful. But we give all the glory to God. We boast Christ and Him alone. Psalm 20 verse 7b, we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 34 verse 2, my soul will make its boast in the Lord. Romans 15 verse 17, therefore in Christ Jesus I found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. Galatians chapter 6 verse 14, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. What is your boast? Is at his cross. Let us not seek the commendation from this world. Let us not boast about ourselves. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. And this is how I want to end this sermon. Because I'm here to preach the gospel. Yes, there's nothing to boast in your life. And you know, everything you do is tainted with sin. And if not anything, then you must repent. But as you live by faith, as you trust Jesus Christ, what He has done for you, and what He has accomplished for you, if you live by faith and hold on to Christ and trust Him, then when you see your Lord Jesus Christ, you will hear from Him these words, well done, good and faithful servant. Not that you did anything well, but because of what Christ has done for you and what he has accomplished for you. That even as you sit there pretending to worship God, but your mind wanders all over the place, you're looking at all kinds of things, that this worship is still pleasing to God because of what Jesus has done and what he has accomplished for us. So that as long as you have that faith, long as you trust Jesus Christ, you will hear from God, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Do you understand the gospel? Do you get it? Because if you want to hear those words based upon your own merit, you will be sent to hell. Because your own works only deserve hell forever. Now, let's not use this justifying your laziness in not doing your best for your Lord. But the truth is truth. That is because of Jesus that God will command you. And he still, even now, commands you. This is our salvation reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. You know that God is happy with you even right now? Now again, do not use that as a license to sin more. But he is happy with you because you are united to Christ. And he commands you. See, this is what our passage is saying. It's not about, "For it is not he who commands himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commands." And those are you. In Jesus Christ, whom the Father commanded, you are also commanded by our God. That reality will be visibly consummated when you see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. When he comes, he will praise you. He will say, "Well done." Do you understand? Your job is to continuously trust Christ. Hold on to him. Never let him go. And rather than boasting, be humble and acknowledge Jesus Christ, then you will hear these words from God himself. "Well done. This is the gospel." Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that our salvation is secure in him, that our eternal inheritance, Jesus Christ himself and his kingdom, is secure in Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we long for that day when we'll be able to see you face to face and hear your loving voice telling us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." No matter how much we must suffer here, no matter how much we have to sacrifice, when we see you and when we hear those words from you, it is truly good enough for us. We thank you, God, and we love you for loving us so much. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.